Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome all of you to our weekly Sunday festival program. Some of you might have seen the altar with its new type of decoration. Anyone seen something special? The books. So this Sunday marks the beginning of our efforts to please Srila Prabhupada by distributing as many books as possible for his pleasure. We have two very experienced speakers today. We have His Grace Baldev Prabhu, who will be speaking about the marathon and what our temple is going to do about it. And we also have, but he's not yet come here, His Grace Naveena Nirada Prabhu. For the last almost 30 years, he's involved with the book distribution program, a very accomplished book distributor from Switzerland. For some time he was the book distribution minister, and currently he is traveling around the world, spends a big chunk of his time in Russia and also in India, trains devotees in book distribution. We're going to show you a few videos, and there will also be skits performed. So that's our plan for today. And I hope you will feel enjoyed, enthralled, enlightened, encouraged, and enthused to go out and distribute books in whatever way, shape, form that pleases you. We may take a few questions if you have, because book distribution seems like a mundane activity. It seems like we come here to do bhakti. Why should we go and sell something? People say, I'm not a salesman. I'm not interested in selling something. Or our fellow Indians, as scholarly and as up to date on their shastra, people ask questions like, why did you bring this Gita on the street? It is meant to be studied in an ashram. And why are you pressurizing people to buy a book? Spiritual knowledge is supposed to be given voluntarily. If somebody wants, he goes to a guru and says, please give me knowledge. The guru gives him knowledge. And here you are at Dadar station. I'm wanting to catch my train, and you are stopping me on my tracks. So these and many other questions you might have. Historically, Radha Gopinath Mandir has done excellent number-wise in book distribution. We hope to keep the banner flying. We hope to do the same thing this year. But more than that, we also want to help devotees understand the spirit behind this particular program. If that spirit is conveyed to you today, then our program is a success. So I'll begin with requesting Baldev Prabhu to kindly begin his presentation.
Hare Krishna. You can start the video. Get yourself ready. Lights off. from again. And go start from again. So before I begin my presentation on Srila Prabhupada's books, I would like to start with Srila Prabhupada's a famous class, which Srila Prabhupada is very nicely requesting all of us to distribute his books. Yeah.
We simply follow the predecessor's instruction. Our movement.
His Holiness Jayadath Maharaj, he was recently touring South Africa, and then he shared this story on his email that he was talking with some devotees who were in a temple, South African temple, and he asked one devotee how you came to Krishna consciousness. So he told a very wonderful story that how many, many years ago his father was traveling from one city to another, and he was in the airport. And the airport he met, in the airport he was in the waiting lounge. While waiting in the lounge there, he found on the desk a book. So intrigued, he was waiting for this plane. So he picked up the book, started reading the book, he was very fascinated. The book happened to be Bhagavad Gita as it is. So when the departure call came that people who are traveling on this train, kindly go and sit in the plane. He was thinking that no one is owning this book, whose book it is. So he picked up the book and he carried the book with him on the plane. And the plane he read the whole book. And as soon as he came home, the first thing entered his house and he said, "Oh, Krishna says," that was the first word he said to his family member. "Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita this." So the family was, he had a wife and a small child. So from that day onwards, he would read Gita, and every day he would say, "Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita." So his child was intrigued, "Who is this Krishna? Who is this Krishna?" He's hearing every day Krishna, Krishna only. So when the child grew up, he was in teenage, so one day he was traveling and then he saw a kirtan party. And they are all chanting Krishna's name. He said, "This Krishna and that Krishna. You know, my father was speaking about Krishna." So he went and asked them that, who is this Krishna? So they gave him a book. And then because he had heard about Krishna so much, he came in touch with devotees. This boy would become a young man now. And then ultimately he moved in temple, he became a devotee. So this is how Srila Prabhupada's books have a great effect. Once it goes, we do not know where it will reach. And who will take the book, read it, and who will benefit later. So there's a chain of reactions which take place. Jayadath Maharaj shared this necklace, we know what happened with that book. But the person who sold the book, he didn't know what happened with the book. So this is Srila Prabhupada's books. That Srila Prabhupada's books have power to make a person Krishna conscious, even though he may not even met devotee. That is the power. This book is having the potential of actually making a devotee, even if he has not met a devotee. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada, he gave his life for his books. We find in Prabhupada Lilamrita the beautiful description of Srila Prabhupada's struggle in India before going to West. So we will spend some time of how Srila Prabhupada struggled in India to get his books, to write his books first of all, then publish his books, and then take those books across the oceans to come to America. So in the Lilamrita, it is mentioned that Prabhupada, when he started writing his books, he would do a meticulous job. He would refer the Bhagavatam, which was edited by, in the Bengali and the Sanskrit edition of Bhagavatam, edited by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he would write first the shloka, and then the Sanskrit shloka, then the English, then word-to-word meaning of each word of that shloka. It's called synonyms, and then the translation of that shloka in English. And then Prabhupada would refer a very fat book containing 12 commentaries of various acharyas, and then he would write his purports. So this is how Srila Prabhupada was very meticulous in writing his books. One time Srila Prabhupada's secretary, this is later when Prabhupada is in America, Prabhupada's secretary who was typing whatever Prabhupada dictated on the dictaphone, so for many days Prabhupada had not written, not uttered or rather spoken anything on the dictaphone. So he went and asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, for a long time, the counter is not gone ahead. The dictaphone counter is going very slow. So Prabhupada said, your job is very mechanical, your type, whatever I speak. But my job is very important. I have to think so much, what should I write? How should I present rather the message of Krishna that for the next 10,000 years people will understand the message. And therefore it takes me time to write those books. So Srila Prabhupada was very much convinced about the books. Srila Prabhupada would say that the Communist Party has come to Calcutta just by literature distribution. Prabhupada said communist regime was in Russia. No Russian came and preached anyone in Calcutta, just books. They sent their books on communism, and just by distributing books, Calcutta became one of the most important party in Calcutta was the Communist Party. And we all know how many years they ruled Calcutta, just by distribution of literatures. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very convinced in his own life that if he has these books, he has everything. So Prabhupada, he would sit down in a small room at Radha Damodara temple in Vrindavan. And it is mentioned that Prabhupada would sit on a thin mat with a table in front, small choki, and a small bulb will be dangling from the ceiling, and under that bulb Prabhupada would write his purports in the early morning hours. That is around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock every day. And if the light would go off, Prabhupada would fire the lantern, and then under the lantern light, Prabhupada would write the books. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada struggled to write his own books. Why? Because he was fully convinced. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, wherever he went, he would speak about his books. Even though he was writing books, he was convinced these books will make major difference in the whole world. In one of the Vyaspuja offerings to his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada wrote, in front of his August Assembly of his God Brothers, he spoke this Vyaspuja offering that, when will the day come when there will be temple in every house in every corner of the world? This is long time, 1960s, when even Gaudiya Math preaching had almost stopped. Prabhupada would say that or nothing, but just some few old ladies would come and there would not much preaching going on. So Prabhupada is speaking in front of all God brothers and is saying, when the time will come where there will be temple in every house in every corner of the world, when the time will come when a high court judge be a Gaudiya Vaishnava and he will decorate his forehead with tilak and go to office, and when the time will come when a Vaishnava, he will win votes, he will be elected president of the land, and then the preaching will spread everywhere. So that was Prabhupada's understanding, that it's going to happen. No one could understand what Prabhupada is saying. Maybe people may have thought that this person is really crazy, he's thinking too far out things, you know. Vaishnava, high court judge. And then Prabhupada writes in one of his diaries, Prabhupada had nothing, he writes, I plan that I must go to America. Generally people go to London, but I want to go to America. Prabhupada has no money, no idea what, but he's saying, I will go to America, I will not go to London. I was simply thinking, Prabhupada writes, how to go to New York? Should I go via Japan, Tokyo, or should I go this way? Prabhupada is saying. I was scheming, which way is cheaper? Sometimes I was dreaming, I am already in New York. Then, this is how Srila Prabhupada was planning himself. Because he knew his spiritual master's order was there, and it is going to be fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada was so humble. One time one devotee, later years, asked Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, your God brothers went to London, why you choose New York? So Prabhupada said, my God brothers went to London and they failed in London. And I thought that if I had to fail, let me fail in a new place. So I choose New York. So Prabhupada in this way started writing his books. And Prabhupada knew very well that writing books is just the beginning. You know, actually writing books is half part of his mission. Remaining half part is to publish those books. So then he went to many of his contemporary friends, his well-wishers, his God-brothers, and told them to help him in publishing these books. And literally all of them told him that there are already so many commentaries by various acharyas. Why are you writing one more commentary? But Srila Prabhupada was convinced in his heart that my spiritual master has told me,
so I'm going to write. So people were actually giving him rejection. People were not happy. People were actually not encouraging him in writing his books. And then Srila Prabhupada decided then to go to a commercial publisher. And then he showed his Bhagavatam, that I want to publish this Bhagavatam. So the commercial publisher said, how many volumes you have? He said, minimum 60 volumes, the entire Bhagavatam. So the publisher got shocked. So many books. Give just one book, you know, short book, small book. We publish that. He said, no, I'm not going to reduce. 60 volumes I want to publish. And he said, no, we can't publish. Give one book, one Bhagavatam, we'll print. So Prabhupada never compromised. Now Prabhupada knew that he had no support from any of his friends. He had no support from any commercial publisher also. So Prabhupada decided, now let me myself collect the money for publishing these books. Because no one is understanding what I want, what my spiritual master wants. So Prabhupada decided to raise private donation. But Prabhupada knew that Vrindavan is a very good place to write books, but not a good place to raise donation. So Prabhupada decided that he will leave Vrindavan and start commuting regularly to Delhi and solicit donations for his books. So Prabhupada reached Delhi. And Prabhupada did not know where he is going to stay in Delhi. At that time, Prabhupada somehow got acquaintance with one very important influential person whose name was Hit Sharan Sharma. So Mr. Hit Sharan Sharma, he was a well-known person because that time he was secretary to the business magnate J.D. Dalmia. And not only that, Hit Sharan Sharma also fortunately had his own press, Radha Press. The name of the press was Radha Press. So Prabhupada made acquaintance with him. He was very helpful to Prabhupada. Because of him, Prabhupada also made friends with one Mr. Shri Krishna Sharma, who was another influential person. And he had a temple in Delhi premises, in Chippiwada area. So because of his help, Krishna Sharma's help, Prabhupada got a room in Delhi. So Prabhupada writes in diary that now I have two offices. One in Vrindavan, Raya Damodar, and second in Chippiwada. It's a small, actually, room. There was no office, but small room. Prabhupada said, now I can write anywhere. I don't have to worry to go to Vrindavan and write books. I can stay in Delhi and meet the publishers and still write my books. So in this way, Prabhupada had two places now, Chippiwada and also Vrindavan, Raya Damodar temple. So Hit Sharan Sharma, he decided to help Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately told him that, why don't you help me in printing my books? My first volume of Bhagavatam, first canto, first volume is ready. Please print it. So he said, where the money is going to come from? So Prabhupada said, ask Dalmia ji. He will give you money. So Sharma said that, well, I don't think so. He is a social worker. He may not give donation for this. So Prabhupada said, well, then I need money. How the money will come? So his Sharan Sharma said that, well, I think there is one person who can help you. This is Mr. Hanuman Prasad Poddar, the famous publisher of Gita Press. So you go to him. So Prabhupada says, where is he? So he is staying in Gorakhpur. So Prabhupada did not know where is Gorakhpur. It was 475 miles from Delhi. Prabhupada decided, let me try out. So Prabhupada caught a train from Delhi to Gorakhpur, and Prabhupada mentions in the diary. Actually, we can see from the diary that Prabhupada writes the financial problems Prabhupada was facing. Prabhupada writes in the diary, I reached Lucknow. Before Lucknow, when he began his journey, he had 130 rupees with him. He reached Lucknow, now I have 57 rupees with me. From Lucknow, Prabhupada took a train to Gorakhpur, overnight train, 6 rupees spent for train. And then 80 paise, I took a rickshaw to Hanuman Prasad Poddar's house. So Prabhupada was spending money, he was not sure whom he was going to meet, is he going to give money or not. But Prabhupada had faith, let me try. Like an innocent child, you know, when a child comes, he said, you go there, he goes away there. And someone said, you go there, he goes away there. Because he does not know what Krishna will reveal to him. So he just went to Hanuman Prasad Poddar, he went to his house, showed him his manuscripts, and Hanuman Prasad Poddar was impressed by Srila Prabhupada. Immediately he gave him 4,000 rupees donation for his printing. So Prabhupada came back to Delhi. He came back to Delhi and he gave that 4,000 rupees to Hit Sharan Sharma to print his first volume in Radha Press. And Hit Sharan Sharma calculated the whole thing, how much it cost. He said it will cost 7,000 rupees, 3,000 rupees short. Prabhupada did not know where to get Prabhupada went to each and every house in the neighborhood of Delhi where he stayed and went and asked, can you give some donation so I can print my books? And by that begging door to door, Prabhupada finally got a few hundred rupees more, but he could not get 3,000 rupees. So he went back to H. Charan Sharma and said, well, you publish my book, let the books be printed, then I'll take the books, 100 copies, I'll sell them, and in this way I'll pay the debt. So H. Charan Sharma was very, he was really feeling very bad for Prabhupada, so he decided to go ahead with the printing. So the first page he printed and showed it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, this is very small print. It's a maximum, this is the font I can use, H. Charan Sharma. This is a 10-point font. And Prabhupada said, I want 12-point font. And H. Charan Sharma said, I don't have that capacity in my printing. I can't print that much. And Prabhupada did not compromise. Prabhupada said, I want 12-point font. Because I want people to read these books, not just keep these books. If they have to read, they need big font, they can read nicely. And Prabhupada knew that H. Charan Sharma had no printing technology of 12-point font. But Prabhupada remained strong. He was convinced. He didn't compromise. Then H. Charan Sharma said, okay, I have a friend, Gautam Sharma of OK Press. I'll go to him and ask him. So finally, Gautam Sharma had 12-point font and he decided, okay, I'll print it for Swamiji. So the printing began. And it is mentioned that Prabhupada would stay in Chippewada area, and then first the galley proofs came of the whole print. So Prabhupada went back to his room and he would check the whole print whether any mistake is there. So when Prabhupada was staying in Chippewada area, it is mentioned there was one lady who was regularly coming and cleaning the temple. So her duty also was to carry a small lunch box and keep it outside Prabhupada's room, knock the room and go away. So Prabhupada would come out and take the lunch and he would take prasad, that's it. But she mentions that many times, the next time I would come next day to pick up the dabba was full. Prabhupada was so absorbed in his books that many times he even did not know that he has not taken his lunch. So Prabhupada, he spent 4 months in Delhi to check the proofs, and after 4 months, the printing was done in OK Press and the pages were ready. Now the pages had to be bound. So H. Charan Sharma, then he decided to send the pages by cartload to a binder where the very simple technology of binding by hand was taking place. So the whole binding was taking place. It took 1 month for the entire book to bind, and Prabhupada would regularly go to the binder and check whether laborers are doing right work or not. So Prabhupada spent 1 month checking for the binding. Meanwhile, H. Charan Sharma, who could not print for Prabhupada, he decided to at least print something for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada told him, you print a dust jacket for the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada himself designed the whole concept and told the artist to make a drawing of it. And now you know the first canto of Bhagavatam, the famous drawing of that lotus which Krishna Loka inside and all the Vaikuntha planets around that. That concept actually Prabhupada made and told an artist to draw it, and that became the dust jacket. And this way, Prabhupada got his first books printed. So the first printing was 1,100 copies. Prabhupada picked up the 100 copies of those books. He told H. Charan Sharma, I will sell these books and get the money and I can repay the debt. So Prabhupada had to now himself go out and sell his own books. So Prabhupada decided now that if I had to go and sell books, I will go to influential people. Because if I go to influential people, they will buy my books. They will give some reviews, forward for my books, and also they may give some more donation by which I can pay off my loans. So Prabhupada went to many influential persons. The first person he met was the president of India, Dr. Radhakrishnan, and he took Prabhupada's one Bhagavatam. But he did not give any donation that time. And Prabhupada came again, and then it is mentioned Prabhupada again approached Hanuman Prasad Poddar, and Hanuman Prasad Poddar wrote a very nice forward. He's a well-known person, Gita published house. So he wrote a review of the book, that this book is very nice, everyone should read this book. Then Prabhupada went to libraries, universities, and schools by foot. He went to all these places giving out these books. And Prabhupada was very successful in doing it. Prabhupada distributed around 40 of his books in 40 schools. Then Prabhupada went to a Ministry of Education, and he convinced that person that this book is very important for universities. So that fellow gave an order of 50 copies to be sent to all different university libraries in India. And then Prabhupada also went to US Embassy and went and convinced the US Embassy fellow that he should take this book and ship it to America. It's very important. So that person took 18 copies and told that our Library of Congress will go and ship the books in America and we will send it to different libraries. And each of these people whom Prabhupada met, you know why they took book from Prabhupada? Because their experience was, this gentleman was calm and quiet. He is very noble, very polite, very scholarly, and they saw a special glow on Prabhupada's face. And that convinced them that this person is very genuine, let us help him. In this way they took Prabhupada's books. So while Prabhupada was going to many influential people, Prabhupada happened to meet the owner of L&H Sugar Factory. And this person became so impressed with Srila Prabhupada, he gave Prabhupada a donation of 5,000 rupees. And Prabhupada decided not to pay a debt, but Prabhupada decided to start the printing of volume 2 now. He was very clear. The first volume profit will help him print the volume 2. And volume 2 when he'll sell, the profit will help him volume 3. And Prabhupada was continuing that this will go on till the whole 12 cantos are over. This is how Prabhupada had a strategy. So volume 2 was under print. Prabhupada already gave the order to Hitscharan Sharma. But Hitscharan Sharma was a very, very busy man. Because Prabhupada was routing his printing via Hitscharan Sharma to the Gautam Sharma, OK Press. But Hitscharan Sharma, being a secretary of Mr. Dalmia and also having a press, many times he would get busy with his own printing work. And therefore he started giving priority, second priority to Prabhupada. He didn't give priority to Prabhupada for his printing. So Prabhupada saw the delays, Prabhupada was not happy. So Prabhupada told Hitscharan Sharma that, you don't do anything, I will do myself. And from that day onwards, Prabhupada took the entire thing in his hands. That means he now went to the market, he purchased pages from the market, arranged for a coolie or a bullock cart or whatever it may be, rickshawala, and transported those books from paper wala to the printer. And then he saw the whole printing done, and it is mentioned that in this way, Prabhupada was struggling to do all these things alone. This is in the year 1960s, I guess. That was Prabhupada's, what was Prabhupada's age that time? 64. At the age of 64, Prabhupada was himself doing everything single-handedly. Meanwhile, when Prabhupada was meeting all these influential people, many of them thought that this sadhu is very genuine. And some of them decided that he should meet much more influential people than us. So all these people whom Prabhupada met, some of them, they decided that they should arrange Prabhupada's meeting with two important people in the country. And through that, Prabhupada went and met first the Vice President of India at that time, Zakir Hussain, who took Prabhupada's book, wrote a review of Prabhupada's book. He was very happy with Prabhupada's books. Then Prabhupada also met Mr. Lal Bahadur Shastri, Prime Minister of India. So Prabhupada was alone. He had no movement, no one with him, but just the sheer confidence and enthusiasm in distributing his books, he could even reach the Prime Minister of India. That was Prabhupada's greatness. So, now when the second volume was printed, Prabhupada decided immediately third volume should print now. He didn't wait for any delays. And someone told him that you go to Bombay, maybe Bombay will be very helpful for you, you can get a lot of donations. So Prabhupada travelled from Delhi to Bombay, he was in Mumbai here, and then he was staying in one of his godbrother's house, Kripa Sindhu Prabhu. And he told Kripa Sindhu Prabhu that if you know some contacts, please help me. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Kripa Sindhu Prabhu remembered some contact. He said, there is one lady here, Mrs. Sumati Morarji. She is the owner of Sindhya Steamship Company. And I remember she had given a lot of generous donation to the Gaudiya Math. Maybe you can approach her. She might help you in printing the third volume. So Prabhupada went to her office. And Prabhupada went to her office. The officers who were there in the office, they did not entertain Prabhupada. Prabhupada knew that Sumati Morarji was inside the office, but somehow Prabhupada could not go inside the office. They did not allow Prabhupada to go inside. So Prabhupada decided, okay, I'll wait outside till Sumati Morarji leaves office. As soon as she will come out of office and she has to enter the car, she will see me and then I'll talk to her. But Prabhupada did not know how long. So Prabhupada sat on the stairs for 5 hours, waiting for Sumati Morarji to come out. And finally, when Sumati Morarji came out, she was shocked to see that this elderly Swami sitting on the steps. So secretary of Sumati Morarji was Chokshi. He said that this Swamiji is waiting for you for the last 5 hours. So she felt very bad. She went and said, Swamiji, what? How can I help you? And Prabhupada said, I'm writing Bhagavatam. I want to print it, third volume. So she was so impressed. So Prabhupada said, okay, whatever money you want for third volume, I'll give you everything. So in this way, Prabhupada got the money for his third volume printing of Srimad Bhagavatam. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that when Prabhupada was sitting there on the stairs, it was like a beggar sitting on the stairs. But Srila Prabhupada was a special beggar. Generally, beggars beg for themselves. Srila Prabhupada was not sitting there to beg for himself. Why? Because Prabhupada had everything. He was a pure devotee. He had love for Krishna. And he had residence in Vrindavan. So whom he was begging for? Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that he was begging for all of us, so that he could print books and these books can go to people all over the world. People can read them. And then they can become devotees of Krishna. So here was Srila Prabhupada, a transcendental devotee of Krishna, begging for all of us, trying to convince gentlemen and gentle ladies, somehow or other, just give some money, I can print some books for everyone. So in this way, we can see that how Srila Prabhupada was very quite convinced. And at least after this incident of Sumati Morarji giving money, Prabhupada became very convinced. These books are powerful books. This can preach all over the world. Because Prabhupada was saying that in short time, he was able to print so many volumes without him having any money also. So Prabhupada now had 3 volumes, and Prabhupada got the confidence that I had something now to carry to the West. But he did not know what will happen, who will give him the sponsorship, who will give him the money to go to West. So Prabhupada from Delhi, from Mumbai, came to Mathura. When he came to Mathura, Srila Prabhupada met just one old friend, Mr. Agarwal. And Prabhupada told that, I have printed this book, please take this. Prabhupada sold him the books. And Prabhupada told that, I want to go to America to spread this message. So Agarwal said, well, I have my son, Mr. Gopal Agarwal, staying in America. I can help you. So Prabhupada said, please try if you can do something. Actually, Prabhupada, whomever he met, any influential people, he would always speak about going to West. So passing by, Prabhupada spoke to him, okay, please help me. Prabhupada reached Vrindavan. When he reached Vrindavan, after some time, he got a mail, a post. And in that post, it came from the Minister of,
Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He gave that mail had come, that there was a no objection certificate from India for Prabhupada to travel to America because Prabhupada had a sponsor in America. When Prabhupada got the mail, he was thinking, how this has come? Because Prabhupada was not knowing who has sent this. So Prabhupada had to go to Ministry of Foreign Affairs to check who this Gopal Agarwal is. And then he came to know that this Mathura businessman Agarwal, then Prabhupada knew. Prabhupada said, I just spoke in a passing by, and now, so this was the first ray of hope that Prabhupada actually could make it to America. So Prabhupada was convinced now that I can go to America. So Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, it is mentioned that Prabhupada would regularly go on a discussion forum with many of the Mahants of Vrindavan. So these Mahants would come together, Vrindavan Mahants, all different temple Goswamis, and Prabhupada also joined them, and they would discuss Krishna Katha. So one day Prabhupada got his Bhagavatam with him. And in the discussion, Prabhupada gave the Bhagavatam to each and every person who was sitting there. He said, this Bhagavatam is going to America. Please bless this Bhagavatam. So everyone touched the Bhagavatam on his head, on their head, and they passed the Bhagavatam book and came to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, this Bhagavatam is going to West. But how it will go to West? Someone has to carry it. So I am going to carry, so please bless me also. So Prabhupada was very sure that he is going to reach America, even though just now he had only got a sponsor. So Prabhupada now decided that I should now work on this remaining 4 things. Passport, visa, P-form, and the travel fare, the actual ticket cost. So by Hit Charan Sharma's help and the Chippewada temple owner, Krishna Pandit, his help, Prabhupada immediately got his passport. Then Prabhupada told him that, why don't you sponsor my ticket also? So Krishna Pandit said, I can't do it. Because as per our Hindu scriptures, no sadhu should go abroad. This is pap. I can't do it. So even though he had money, he did not give any ticket fare for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, whatever, at least passport is done. So Prabhupada thought, now what should do? So Prabhupada again thought of Sumati Morarji, that this lady is very generous, she's a devotee of Krishna, maybe she'll help. So Prabhupada again came to Bombay now. So Prabhupada came to Bombay and he went to again Sumati Morarji's office. So there was Mr. Chokshi there, the secretary of Sumati Morarji. Prabhupada called him and said, go and tell Sumati Morarji that I want a ticket on Sumati Morarji's cargo ship to go to America. And I want it free of charge. So Choksi was a little bewildered. He went. Choksi went and told Sumati Morarji that this old Swami, the one whom you give money for printing books, he has again come, and this time he wants a free ticket on a ship to America. So Sumati Morarji, when he heard this, she said, no, go and tell this Swami that he's too old to go and he will not accomplish anything in America. Tell him to stay in India, in Vrindavan, and write all of his books. This is the best place to write books. So Choksi came out and said, Morarji is saying that this is very difficult, you can't go. So Prabhupada was not convinced. Prabhupada said, you have not convinced her properly. So Prabhupada trained him what you should speak to Sumati Morarji. So Choksi was more bewildered. He went back to Sumati Morarji. Of course, he could not speak anything. He said, the Swami is very determined. He wants a ticket. So go and tell the Swami that you are not healthy. You are too old. America is a very cold place. You will not even survive. Plus, people in America, they are not cooperative. They will not even listen to you. Go and tell him. So Choksi came out and again told Prabhupada that this is what Sumati Morarji is saying. So Prabhupada was so determined. Prabhupada said, no, you give me a personal interview with Sumati Morarji. I'll talk to her personally. So Choksi had no idea what to do. So he brought Srila Prabhupada in front of Sumati Morarji. And as soon as he came in front of Sumati Morarji, she told that, well, you can't go to America. It's very difficult. And Prabhupada says, it's all right. Don't worry about that. Just give me a ticket. And then Sumati Morarji told that all these officers who are standing here with me, they're all saying me, Swami is too old, he will not even make it. Prabhupada said, this is all foolish rumor. You just give me a ticket and everything Krishna will arrange. So Sumati Morarji said, okay, you get your P form and your visa, I'll give you a ticket. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhupada got his ticket from Sumati Morarji. Now Prabhupada had some more things, his P form and his visa to accomplish. So Prabhupada knew that these are all government works, it will take some time. So Prabhupada wanted to stay somewhere in Bombay. So Sumati Morarji was very generous. He said, okay, we have a Sindhya colony nearby where all our employees stay. You can go, we arrange a room for you. You stay in Bombay as long as you want to arrange for your government permissions, your visa and your P form and all those things. So when Prabhupada was staying in that room of Sindhya colony, people who were staying next to Prabhupada, they were all impressed with Srila Prabhupada's amazing devotion. The neighbors were later interviewed. They all would tell that this Swamiji would never come out of the room. Whole day, he would sit on the desk and just write, keep writing, whole day. And when Prabhupada was staying in that Sindhya Steamship colony, Prabhupada somehow got a directory, telephone directory. So Prabhupada picked up a telephone directory and went to the whole telephone directory and saw who are the influential people in Bombay. From the directory, he got the address, the telephone number of these people, and Prabhupada decided to meet them then. So every day Prabhupada in the early morning would go to meet these people, the contacts which he got from the directory, and the late evening he will come. So the neighbors who were staying with Prabhupada, they all would recollect that how Prabhupada would come, go in the early morning and come late in the evening. And when he would come, he would be dead tired. But as soon as he would come in the room, he would sit on the desk and he would start writing his books. And when he would write his books, they would say that he would get so much of energy as if he's rejuvenated, some shakti has come inside him. He's tired, he's sat down and now writing books throughout the night. So that was Prabhupada's zeal in writing his books. So finally, he got his P form, He got his visa. There was no problem in that. And then Mr. Chokshi asked Prabhupada, so now you're going to America? Do you know how American climate is? So Prabhupada said, it must be cold. So Prabhupada said, it's very cold. You need warm clothes. You have warm clothes? So Prabhupada said, I don't have any warm clothes. So he took Prabhupada to a shop and purchased warm clothes for Prabhupada, woolen jacket and some socks. And so when he was giving, and he also purchased some new dhotis for Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't have much clothes. And so when seeing Chokshi so determined to help Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, since you're helping me so much, I also one more thing, you can help me in that. Prabhupada told, I'm going to take these books to America. See, I'm going to meet so many people. I can't give a book to them. I need a pamphlet, a flyer. Print 500 pages, some pamphlet for me, you know. In the front you put Sikshashtakam prayers and behind you put the advertisement of my Bhagavatam. So make that flyer for me. So Chokshi agreed, he printed that from his own money and gave to Prabhupada. So that wherever he goes, whichever place he goes, he can give the flyer so that he can have information that what books he had. So in this way Prabhupada was ready with his things. Sumati Murarji arranged for Prabhupada's ticket on Jaladuta, the cargo ship, on August the 13th. So Prabhupada had barely around 2 months remaining for the journey to begin. Prabhupada decided to go to Kolkata and then to Mayapur. When Prabhupada reached Kolkata, the first time he stepped on Kolkata station, he came to his senses, actually I have no contact in Kolkata. He came to Kolkata and Prabhupada recollected, this is the same place where I was born. And I was nourished and cared and loved by my own parents. I stayed here. But today at this point, I don't have anyone here. So Prabhupada writes a very nice poem, which was later published in Vrindavan Bhajan, Prabhupada's poem. So Prabhupada writes in that I have my wife, my sons, my daughters, my grandsons, everything, but I have no money. So they are a fruitless glory, Prabhupada writes. Where have my loving father and mother gone? Where all my elders, who were my own folk, they have gone? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. And Prabhupada mentions very emphatically. All that is left of this family life is a list of names, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada finally recollected there is one person whom he can meet. This was Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya, whom Srila Prabhupada had met in Delhi. When he was doing a program, Shishir Bhattacharya was a well-known professional singer of bhajans. So Prabhupada, when he was giving a lecture in one place, this fellow had come and Prabhupada met him because both were Bengalis, so Prabhupada had good conversation. So Prabhupada immediately went to his house. He hosted Prabhupada for some days and even arranged Prabhupada programs. Whenever he would go for bhajans, he would take Prabhupada and Prabhupada would speak something. And just a week before Prabhupada was about to leave for America, Prabhupada went to Mayapur. And in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada went to the Samadhi Mandir of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and took his blessings. And then Prabhupada came back to Kolkata. So now he was ready for his journey. What were Prabhupada's possessions? Now, if anyone has to go abroad, it's important what they carry. Prabhupada's possession was one suitcase, one umbrella, a box of dry cereals. We do not know whether he'll get something to eat in America or not. Prabhupada thought that maybe I'll not get anything to eat in America. They have only meat there. So Prabhupada was prepared to live on boiled potatoes and some cereals. But Prabhupada's main luggage was his trunk load of books which he was carrying. There were 200 copies of Volume 1, Volume 2 and Volume 3. This was Prabhupada's real wealth. Prabhupada had only 40 rupees in his hand. I remember Radhanath Maharaj was recollecting the same class which he was giving that 40 rupees was equivalent to $7 in America. But the problem was that was not dollars, that was rupees. So that was not even exchangeable in America. So Prabhupada carried those 40 rupees and Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees. Then later, after 2-3 years, when Prabhupada's health went down and Prabhupada came back from America to India, and that time from airport to Chippewada, he took a taxi. And that time he removed the 40 rupees and gave it to taxi wala. So in 3 years, that 40 rupees was useless for Prabhupada. He kept the 40 rupees in his pocket only. It was no use. So Srila Prabhupada was all ready for his departure. The day Prabhupada was about to leave, Prabhupada started contemplating, where am I going? Prabhupada started thinking, I am old. I am not even healthy. I am going to an unknown place, probably an unwelcoming country also. Prabhupada thought, it's Kali Yuga. In India, Kali Yuga is there. Still, there is some culture. But America, I don't know what will happen there. To be poor in India, Prabhupada writes, is one thing. It's okay to be poor in India. But in America, if someone is poor, I don't know what will happen. They may kill me also. And above all, I am a sannyasi, Prabhupada says. In India, if you are sannyasi, people will somehow respect you and will give you a chance to meet. But in America, no one knows what a sannyasi is. It's a different culture altogether. Plus, I'm a foreigner. And there are no temples in America where I can stay. There are no sadhus I know. There are no ashrams, free ashrams where I can stay. So Prabhupada did not know where he is going. But then Prabhupada remembered that he has his books. And Prabhupada remembered his books. Suddenly a sheer, huge confidence came in Prabhupada's heart that I have books, I have no problem. If I have books, everything will be accomplished. So with that confidence, just the thought of books Prabhupada had, that gave him so much confidence, Prabhupada was ready, happily, to climb that ship, Jaladuta. So when he was boarding the ship, there were only 4 or 5 people who came to meet him, out of which 4 were not even his relatives. Only one, his son, was there. And they bid a farewell. They did not know what will happen to this old Swami. He's going to America on a ship, that too, not on a plane also. And everyone was discouraging him not to go. It's a very tiring journey, whether you can make it or not. 38 days it will take on the ship. So Prabhupada was still very sure that he will make it, Prabhupada, and his spiritual master's order is there. He has reached this point. He will definitely make America and he will be able to preach also. So Prabhupada was very confident about the whole procedure. So then Prabhupada started maintaining this diary called a Jaladuta diary, which was later printed. And we'll see what Prabhupada writes there. So 13th August, Prabhupada sits in Jaladuta cargo ship. Prabhupada writes, 9 a.m. we left Kolkata harbor. Prabhupada writes, the cabin is very comfortable. I never thought it would be so comfortable. And Prabhupada writes that I thank Lord Krishna for enlightening Sumati Morarji for giving me a comfortable cabin. So Prabhupada is not saying Sumati Morarji arranged. Prabhupada is saying, I'm thanking Lord Krishna because he has enlightened Sumati Morarji to give me a comfortable cabin. On the 14th, Prabhupada writes on 13th August that the ship is moving very smoothly because still the ship was on Ganga. It had not reached the Bay of Bengal. And Prabhupada, as soon as the 14th August, the next day, the ship enters Bay of Bengal. And as soon as it enters Bay of Bengal, Prabhupada writes, now the ship is tilting and it is rolling. And Prabhupada mentions, gradually the roughness of the sea increased. And Prabhupada mentions, seasickness, dizziness, vomiting tendency, Prabhupada writes. Just imagine the first day of Prabhupada's voyage, he is mentioning seasickness, dizziness, vomiting tendency. To go on ship is not an easy thing. We have one devotee in our BT ashram and he is from ship. He was traveling in ship for long months. So I just asked him what it takes to be on ship, you know. So he told me that what Prabhupada mentioned, seasickness, dizziness, vomiting, is normal in ships. As soon as you go on ship, for some time, you go on the middle in the ocean and there is this rolling and tilting of the ship. Immediately there will be vomiting, he mentioned. There has to be vomiting. And he told me, this devotee told me that if the captains and the ship wala, they will convince you should eat some food. So you tell them, if I eat food, I'll vomit. So okay, eat food and vomit. Why? Because if you don't eat food, you will vomit and blood will come out. You may die. So Prabhupada was in a ship at this age of 69 years. And he was having the first day of his voyage. 38 days he has to pass on the ship. Seasickness, dizziness, vomiting. He had not even left the Indian shores. So there was a chance for him to again maybe take a U-turn and go back. Prabhupada did not think of those things. Prabhupada continued. On 20th, was the day of Janmashtami, 6 days later. Prabhupada did not take any food for the next 6 days on the journey. Could not take because seasickness was there. On 20th, there was Janmashtami day. Then, it is mentioned to Captain Pandya, who was the ship in charge, he got some officers on the ship. And they sat near Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave a lecture on Janmashtami for all of them. And he distributed prasadam to all of them. So Prabhupada mentions that I celebrated Janmashtami, I spoke to the crew, I distributed prasadam. 21st. What is 21st? Next day. Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, birthday. In the Lilamrit, it is written, 21st, birthday, no ceremony. And then, but Srila Prabhupada, one, Lord Krishna had arranged a special gift for Srila Prabhupada on 21st. Because on that day, the ship moved and stopped on the Cochin Harbour. And at that place, Srila Prabhupada's three big trunks of books were loaded on the ship. That was Prabhupada's wealth. And Prabhupada's wealth came on the day of his birthday. Then Prabhupada writes that on 23rd, the ship entered Red Sea. And Prabhupada mentions there was a great difficulty there. Prabhupada again writes, rain, seasickness, dizziness, headache. And it continues, Prabhupada writes, no appetite, vomiting, Prabhupada writes. And then the sea became more harsher. And Prabhupada started getting pains in his chest. And then Prabhupada got two severe heart attacks. All that troubles Prabhupada underwent. And Prabhupada was thinking that if one more would come, I would not survive. And that night, Srila Prabhupada was intensely praying. And when Prabhupada was taking rest, that night Lord Krishna came in Srila Prabhupada's dream. And Lord Krishna told Prabhupada, Prabhupada saw that Lord Krishna, along with all of his incarnations, were on Jaladuta ship. And they were all rowing Jaladuta. And Lord Krishna told Prabhupada, that's what Prabhupada writes, do not fear, come along with me. When Srila Prabhupada heard those words, that Krishna is saying, do not fear, come along with me, Prabhupada felt very much assured. The next day, everything changed. The whole chemistry changed in the sea voyage. All the violent attacks which Prabhupada had, they stopped. The sea became very calm. In fact, it was such a pleasant journey henceforward that when the ship went on Atlantic, when it crossed the Red Sea and then went on the Atlantic, which was the major sea ride, it is mentioned in the Atlantic, before embarking on Atlantic, Captain Pandya would get all of his crew members, he also called Srila Prabhupada and gave him demonstration, what will happen if something goes wrong on Atlantic. How to use the, they call it, what the boats they have, small boats? Life boats, how to use them. The Atlantic is a dangerous ride. But that Atlantic ride was a peaceful ride. So Captain Pandya was very shocked. He went and told Prabhupada that Swamiji, this is the first time I'm seeing over the years I'm traveling that Atlantic is so calm. So Prabhupada said that this is just Srila Krishna, this is all Lord Krishna's mercy. So Prabhupada recovered his health, Prabhupada started eating regularly now, and then Prabhupada writes in his diary on the 10th of September, today's ship is flying smoothly. I feel better, Prabhupada writes. But I am feeling separation from Vrindavan and Govind, Gopinath and Damodar. My only solace is Chaitanya Charitamrita which I am carrying, and here I am testing the nectarian leelas of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada mentions, I have left Bharat Bhumi just to execute order of my spiritual master who ordered me in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, Prabhupada writes, but I have taken this risk just to carry out the order of my spiritual master. Therefore, I am depending fully on his mercy because I have come so far away from Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes. So in this way, Prabhupada's journey continues. On 32nd day of his journey, Srila Prabhupada writes, I cooked khichdi, was able to eat some food. Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion Lord Krishna. So that is the day when Srila Prabhupada wrote that famous bhajan, Krishna Tava Punya Hobe Bhai. And then the journey continues. 35th day, 17th September, Srila Prabhupada's ship reaches the shores of America, Boston Harbor. So Prabhupada sees the Boston skyline. The first time Prabhupada is seeing America. Prabhupada sets his lotus feet on the shores of America. And Prabhupada has a brief, Prabhupada convinces somehow or other, Captain Pandya, I want to go and see. this place. So Captain Kunde arranges some special papers and they go out and he takes Prabhupada on a small drive in Boston and walk, visit some places. Prabhupada comes back from Boston again to the ship. Prabhupada is very much thinking, how will I preach here? It's a special, it's a new place, new culture. And in that feeling, he wrote this next poem. Boro Kripa Koilo Krishna, Adha Mera Pati. And Prabhupada's ship continues. 19 September, finally the ship finishes his journey. The ship halts at New York Harbor. Prabhupada comes out, sees the Manhattan skyline, sees the Liberty Statue, the Empire State Building. As soon as he comes out, he does not know whether he should turn left or he should turn right. But he sees everyone is going towards right, so he follows them. So Prabhupada reaches one office. So he asks, where is your passport and visa? So Prabhupada shows passport and visa. One man is sitting there, very close by. He says, you are Bhaktivedanta Swami? Yes, he said. Oh, I have been sent by Mr. Gopal Agarwal. I am a traveling agent. He told me to put you on a bus, and then he will collect you when the bus stops at a particular place. So Prabhupada knew that some Butler, Pennsylvania has to go. But he did not know where Butler, Pennsylvania is not in a major New York. It's somewhere isolated place, far away from New York main city. So Prabhupada sits on a bus. He does not know where the bus is going. Who is going to pick him up there on the bus? This agent has put him on the bus. But when the bus halts at Butler, Pennsylvania, Prabhupada gets down and Krishna has arranged Gopal Agarwal there to receive Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada reaches America with his books. So this was Srila Prabhupada's great struggle in reaching America. The new struggle had to begin now. What happened in America? It's another story that we can discuss next time. But what I'm saying is that these books which Prabhupada got, which we may easily available here, everywhere on the altar, the beginning of those books is a major struggle which Srila Prabhupada had in his life during his old age, and he never gave up. He was very confident that his books will definitely do a miracle. So when I was going through some videos of Srila Prabhupada, I came across a very beautiful video of Prabhupada. This video was done by one Prabhupada lady disciple, Yamini Mataji. So she herself was so inspired by Prabhupada's journey on Jaladuta that she made a poem on that and she made a video on that. So I thought, since we have spoken on that, we'll see that video now and then we'll go ahead with our programs later also. Can we have the lights off again? Lights off, both places.
Prabhupada gorgeous Ajala to today. He's heading to the west without delay. This book.
So, lights on. So, we see that in this material world, many things have become famous, even though apparently material. Lord Narsingdev came out from a pillar. The pillar became famous. Today devotees climb all the way to Ugrastambha and then do Abhishek of the pillar. So that pillar there became famous because Lord Narsingdev came out of it. Then Lord Krishna was born, appeared in the prison. Generally people don't go to prison, but here people stand in line at Krishna Janmabhoomi in Mathura to enter the prison. So the prison has become famous. So similarly, this cargo ship also has become famous, Jaladuta. There is one more ship which is famous, Titanic. But it is not famous, it is ill-famous. But this cargo ship, Jaladuta, has become famous because this ship carried Srila Prabhupada, who was a messenger of Godhead. He was the ambassador of spiritual world. So we find that how Srila Prabhupada was very confident of his mission. He had full understanding that it will take place. He may have not known the details how it's going to happen, but he very well knew it's going to happen. I'll tell you 2-3 stories how Srila Prabhupada was very confident what will happen. So when Prabhupada was staying in Kolkata, and Prabhupada had not even taken sannyas, so some of Prabhupada's god brothers was staying with Prabhupada that time. So one of his god brothers one day came to meet Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhu, today I gave a lecture on Prithvite Achi Jata Nagaratigram Sarvat Prachar Hoibe Muranam. That means every town and village, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name will spread. So then he came and said, Prabhupada, that I gave a lecture very confidently, but I am thinking now, how it will happen? Who is going to do this? Every town and village all over the world, how is it going to happen? So Prabhupada chanting is japa. Prabhupada told, don't worry. One day, one insignificant, foolish disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur will do it. So this god brother, he thought that maybe he's telling that maybe I will do it. But then he thought, then if I am doing that, why this Prabhupada is calling me insignificant? Why is calling me foolish? So Prabhupada chanting japa, he came back, turned around and said, don't worry, you are not that disciple. So this recollection came in Prabhupada's memories by Mula Prakriti Mataji. She wrote a book. And this god brother recollected. I was thinking that who is going to do it? But later I understood that this is the person who did it. He was very confident he is going to do it. Then Prabhupada was actually taking once, he was in Keshavji Gaudiya Mutt with his god brother and taking prasad there in the loft. So one very, a member of that mutt, Grihastha devotee, he was looking for some person. So he came, he had walked on the stairs, he peeped to the door to check who is there. And then he saw Prabhupada and another old person sitting there, and he went away. So Prabhupada saw the other devotee sitting next to him and said, this person is thinking, after peeping the door, these two old people sitting there taking prasad. But he does not know that these two old people can accomplish a very big mission for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada very well knowing that he is going to be an instrument for a very great task. And therefore when things started revealing to him, he was not excited or very amazed, surprised. When you do not know, then you get excited. So when Prabhupada saw all things getting revealed, he was very calm. Like one very nice story which I remember, Prabhupada was in America, and one day Brahmananda Prabhu, he came and told Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, you are chanting album. So a letter has come from Macmillan Company. So this person is writing that he is very impressed by your chanting album, the Hare Krishna album. He wants one copy of it. So Brahman Prabhu said, see, Prabhupada, Macmillan Company, very well known, printing, publishing, you know, they can print our books. So Prabhupada said, very nice, very nice. So you go and meet him, take the album with you. So Brahman Prabhu said, well, I'll do one thing. I'll go and meet him, give the album, and maybe I'll talk about printing of our Bhagavad Gita, first edition. So Prabhupada said, okay, you go, but carry the manuscripts also with you. But Prabhupada, but I'm going to just give an album to him. Why should I carry manuscripts? So don't worry, just carry manuscripts with him, with you. So Prabhupada went, Brahmananda went to the Macmillan Company, and he came to know that person who wrote him a letter was just an ordinary clerk. So he thought maybe some big person has written, he wants album, and then Brahmananda will, and he also had carried manuscripts with him, Bhagavad Gita manuscripts. So he sat in the office, and the clerk was saying, how much should I pay you for the album? So Brahmananda was sitting in the office, in the clerk's office, the door opened. The clerk suddenly stood up. A big manager of the company had come in. The clerk introduced the manager to Brahmananda. This is Brahmananda ji from Hare Krishna, and his album is there. So immediately said, you are from Hare Krishna? You have something with the something to do with the Indian culture? Yes, yes. We want to print a Bhagavad Gita, he said to Brahmananda. And Brahmananda immediately picked the manuscript and said, take it. So he was so excited that Prabhupada sent me with the manuscript, and the manuscript has been and he's going to print the book now. Macmillan is going to print. So Prabhupada, Brahmananda came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this happened, that happened. Prabhupada, don't worry, take prasad. So Prabhupada knew very well what is going to happen. Nothing excited him, nothing surprised him, because he knew it's going to accomplish, it's going to happen. So this is how we can see that our Prabhupada struggled so much, and Prabhupada is very confident that his books will definitely go. They will be printed, they will be published, and devotees will come and distribute them. So it is to our credit if we can take that job in our hands and distribute those books. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Baldev Prabhu. It was as if we were transported to those times. Now I request Navinirada Prabhu to kindly take the floor.
Hare Krishna. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadamaham vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. This is too good to stop, so should just carry on. We don't want to wait to find out what happened, but it's all there in Prabhupada Lilamrita. So this is a special time of the year in many ways. And I went out this morning to see Srila Radhanath Maharaj off. I saw big boxes of books. So my heart started feeling very happy. And it is a special time of the year in many ways, because Krishna has stated that amongst months he's November, December. And also Gita Jayanti is coming. So it is a special time. In the Shastra it is stated, Sadhu Shastra, Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi Lavamata Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi, that even if only for a fraction of a second time, a moment's time, we get the association of a true sadhu, our life can change. That moment is just the blinking of an eye. You just blinked. Everybody's constantly blinking. That's how long of association it is required to become enthused with Krishna consciousness. I just read the story recently that when Prabhupada approached Boston Harbor on Jaladuta, there was a Coast Guard boat which was cruising around the coastline of America. And the Coast Guard officer was on deck and he was saluting the Jaladuta. And Prabhupada was waving back. And that person 4 years later joined ISKCON and became known later on as Chyavana Swami Maharaj. He's the first person in the West to see Prabhupada. So these books are none different from Srila Prabhupada. They're his devotional ecstasies. Some people may take, some people may not take. Some people will look, some people will smile, some people will wave. And we say, yeah, yeah, you just wave. That's okay. Just keep on waving. I went to a temple and I asked the devotees how they joined Krishna consciousness. I do that quite often. How many came from books? How many came from Harinam? How many came from cultivation? And one fellow, he didn't want to say how he came. So I said, why not? He said, later on in private, first he said, I don't want to tell. Then later on he told me, actually, my first book, I stole it. And now, 10 years later, I'm still here trying to pay back what I stole. So Krishna has unique sense of humor. We may think, yeah, this book marathon thing, you know, they're just, this is all party politics, you know. They're trying to do some propaganda. So, okay, I'm part of the party, so let me do some propaganda. And all of a sudden, sometime later, you realize what happened. My heart, my consciousness, my emotions. I was very fortunate to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books in 1984 when I was going to an international boarding school in the Swiss Alps, where many of your Bollywood movies are being made. Right there, on that spot, I went to school. And Prabhupada came to me in the form of his books in the library. Not the main library, but the library of the founder of the school was Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part one. And I started reading it, and I became very inspired. Even though I didn't understand that much, I was 15 years old, and philosophical books was a bit foreign to me. But I went to the temple to check it out, and I started chanting. And after some time, I was so much desirous of having all these books because I felt that this is really something extraordinary. And so I called a devotee. He came to my home. He brought me a full set of books, but he thought, this boy, he doesn't have any money. He's a school kid. So he brought me old books from the library, which he picked up. But I had saved up money from delivering newspapers in the area and from doing odd summer jobs, and I also delivered flowers for a flower shop. So I gave him all the money I had, $500. It was quite a bit of money in 84. And he gave me the set of books. I thought, never mind, I got the books, whichever condition. So in the past so many years, by Krishna's mercy, I've traveled. I have been able to do a few things, build some building, have some companies, two different things. But I can honestly say that the best investment I ever made in my life was to get a full set of Prabhupada's books. That was the best, by far, investment I ever made. So charity starts at home. Right now, there's so much talk about recession, and people are scared to lose jobs, they're scared to lose position, they're scared to lose face. But we are fortunate to be part of this movement of Srila Prabhupada, which is meant to create Brahmins, which is meant to create magnanimous, charitable people. But charity starts at home. So let us, in that spirit of charity, give ourselves the greatest gift of taking the gift Prabhupada has left, the legacy he has left, and accepting it with open hands, with an open heart. And I'm not going to do this, but usually ask people, how many of you have read all of Prabhupada's books? How many of you own a full set of Prabhupada's books? I said, I'm not going to do it. You can do it mentally. But I have one humble request. Give yourself this greatest gift. Give yourself a full set of Prabhupada's books. You will never regret it. And because, honestly speaking, we cannot give to people what we don't have. Like, I came to the process of Krishna consciousness in 84, and I gained a lot, and then I lost a lot. And by the mercy of Srila Radhanath Maharaj, I have gained these things back. So I know what it means to love and to lose, and then to gain it back. So let us be intelligent and take that shelter, because we can only give shelter to people if we have shelter ourselves. And shelter doesn't only mean a roof over your head and some food to eat. Shelter doesn't only mean some company where you're comfortable. But shelter means to be sheltered spiritually, to be sheltered philosophically, to be sheltered in the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, which is the greatest shelter. So by studying Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, we are actually showing our appreciation, our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And we are repaying him for all the sacrifices he has done, all those countless hours. Srila Prabhupada has written about 6 pages per day for every day for the time that was recorded from when he reached America till he left this world. 6 pages every day. So I humbly like to encourage all of us to read Srila Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, because it does make a huge difference. And then when we go out and we try to enthuse people to take these books, people usually, they take one look at you. And then they take one look at the book. And then they see whether the two are matching.
And they go, nah, 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 nah. They may even have the money out already, and they take one last look at you, and they look at the book. And they want to know, are you convinced? Are you convinced that this is really going to make a difference in my life? And if we doubt it because we're lacking the inspiration, we're lacking our own convictions, then people, they will pick up on that doubt, and they will not be inspired to contribute. A few weeks ago, I was in Russia in the Urals, which is where the Russian crude oil and gas is coming from. That's why they're so wealthy, besides selling a lot of arms to India and neighboring countries. So I was in a city called Yekaterinburg, and we went on the street with the host I was staying with. He's the owner of two hairdresser stores. So we went out to distribute books together, and there was one elderly lady. She was also out distributing Prabhupada's books. So I got a little intrigued. So I said, Mataji, I know it's not a very nice thing to ask, but can you tell me your age? And I made many mistakes, but with the time of making mistakes, you learn. So she smiled and she said, I'm 72 years old. I have 9 grandchildren. So I asked her, how often are you doing this? She said, every day of the week I go out for about 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. Now, Urals is a very cold place. By now, it's already minus temperatures. In January, it will be like minus 30. It's right next to Siberia, Urals Mountains. It runs straight across. So she's 72 years old. She goes out every day for 3 hours. She does about 10 big books, 40 small books, and 80 magazines. I ask her, Mataji, how do you do this? She said, it's very simple. I just stand here on the walking street, and I smile. And all the people that walk by that smile back, I call them over. And then I say, what do you say? She said, I don't say much. I say, this is a book about Krishna. And I want you to have this book because it will be good for you. And because she's a grandmother, she's a very authoritative figure. Besides that, she's a big babushka. She's a big Russian Mataji. So they take. And now many have excuses and they say, I don't have any money. And she says, that's okay. You take it. You know, tomorrow I will be here waiting for you. And you can bring me the money tomorrow. And she says, they all come back, bringing her the money, because nobody wants to cheat his grandmother. So 2 days ago, I was out walking on Marine Drive in the evening. There was a lot of people there also walking and sitting and doing all sorts of things. And there was a young fellow who was walking around. I saw him the first time I passed. And then when I walked back, then I saw him again. So I stopped him. And I said, are you happy or are you happy? And the fellow spoke good English. So he said, I'm very happy. I said, that's nice. You have such a good energy. And he said, thank you. So then I gave him a book. He's a youngster studying chemistry. And his name is Nitin Pujari. And he gave me his email and phone number and 100 rupees. And he knew about ISKCON, but he had never interacted with people much. So people are looking for beauty, they're looking for knowledge, they're looking for wealth, they're looking for power, they're looking for all those things. So actually everybody's looking for Krishna. Now who has Krishna? Prabhupada has Krishna. And where has he left Krishna? He has put Krishna in his books. So the books have appeared here, and there is no scarcity of books, as we can see when we walk out the temple. So I think my time is up. So I humbly like to request all of you, in one way or the other, give yourself the greatest gift of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and share it with whoever you meet. And please get some books, because physically speaking, it's one of the laws of Newton that you can't distribute books that you don't have. It doesn't work. And the more you show, the more you sell. So you have to take the books out of your bags. First you get books and you carry them with you, and then you hand them to people. The first rule is that all the inspiration, all the strength comes from the sadhana. So by reading Prabhupada's books and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we'll become so inspired and so enthused that we want to share this message with everyone we meet. And then when we see how Krishna chooses to appear through his pure devotees' teachings, and how he manifests himself, even through our humble efforts, it will give us so much inspiration, so much strength, and so much courage, such a boost in our own spiritual life, that come January, it will be very hard to stop. Now, India is doing 2/3 of the world's book distribution. I just spoke to Ananda Tirtha, my good friend over at Juhu. They printed 14 lakhs books just for the marathon. So if this is gone, don't worry, there is more. They have a huge warehouse now, here just outside of Bombay. So there is unlimited supply. Like all those difficulties we are hearing about, which Prabhupada faced, which almost make us cry, there is none of that for us. None of that. So, and India is doing 2/3 of the world's book distribution, and about 2/3 or 3/4 of it in 1 month. So that's the good news and that's the bad news. So the good news is it's happening. The bad news is what's happening the rest of the 11 months. Because, virtually speaking, if you move around and you see other places around the world, I was spending major time in Russia, which is a very interesting place because it's got tens of thousands of devotees. But it's also a very difficult place because they're trying to ban Bhagavad Gita and to attack our movement. So there are so many obstacles which, honestly speaking, don't exist here in the land of Bharat. You can go up to anybody and you ask them, you know about Krishna? And they all say yes. And ask them, do you like Krishna? And 95% of the people will say yes with a big smile. And just by saying yes and smiling, you can say they're qualified to get the book. So we should not take this chance for granted, because it is by our good fortune that we have been given this chance. Let's not take it for granted, because otherwise it may slip from our hands. So I humbly encourage you, please take inspiration from these Prabhuji's presentations, and yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshet, in whichever way we can remember Krishna and we can share Krishna with others, that is fine. The most attractive thing, as Srila Prabhupada said, is chant Hare Krishna and be happy, because happy devotees attract people, and people will come up to you and they will ask you, why are you so happy? Oh, why are you never fighting? Why are you not gossiping and doing all those politics? And they, people will inquire. They want to know. And then you just hand them a book and say, this is why. So thank you for your great enthusiasm. Please bless us so we can take shelter of this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. And let's remember that it's not about a marathon. It's not about 1 month. We should not end like that Greek fellow who ran from the city of Marathon to Athens and then he died, declaring, we won! And then, boom, he was finished. So we want to see a sustainable, a continuous effort for book distribution. That is our desire, because that is what pleases Srila Prabhupada the most. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The great class by Baldev Prabhu. Amazing. I was very proud to hear him speak. I remember joining him as a young devotee. So prolifically spoke and spoke the stuff for us to take inspiration to do a lot of books. I was coming up here. Our GFS director, Prem Nindi Prabhu, said we will take 5,000 copies and distribute and give them the experience of traveling around and distributing 5,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And in the morning when I was going to the airport to drop His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he said, how many? That's how he started asking the question. As he sat in the car, he said, how many? I said, 50,000. So that is too less. So we have to empty this stock and get more books. And these three will not do it here sitting. We have to go out and distribute in large quantity. And just to tempt people also, our devotees here in Bombay are trying to organize this Gita Champions League. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, many years back, he was mentioning. He said there is so many champion league. Cricket, you know, which is the, unfortunately, the religion of India. So, how many countries take part? He said, 8-12. He said, in our marathon, as many countries are there in the world. I just asked Braj Bihari. He said, there are 235 countries. And in every part, every country, every town and village, devotees try to distribute books. So we can take part. Invite people to take part in taking the book, taking part in reading the book, and coming and writing. I was in Ahmednagar maybe 6 months back. And the population of Ahmednagar is only 12 lakh. And 5,000 students, 2 days before the semi-final cricket match, were sitting in a huge ground and writing the answer for the question of as it is Bhagavad Gita. The entire city, you know, almost like 10%, the students were 5,000 and their parents prepared for them. And the schools were giving special classes. Just imagine that the entire city, as everybody else was talking about cricket, they were talking about Bhagavad Gita. That is our war, the war against, you know, Maya. So therefore, you know, it's easier this year, along with Gita, we can invite them for GCL. And the prize is also very good. Gita is only for 80 rupees and the prize money is 50,000 rupees, 1 lakh rupees. And there is no match fixing. So if you want to take part and ask others to take part, or you want to sponsor, or you want to get sponsorship, as Baldev Prabhu was mentioning, how Prabhupada was trying to catch the Shrestas, the leaders of the society. I remember in 1996, we were traveling. I got to travel for 5 years doing book distribution. Best thing is Saturday, Sunday, don't come here. If you have a car, if you have whatever you have, go out of Bombay with your friends and experience distributing books in small towns. It's amazing. If you are in your own town, sometime you feel, okay, maybe this person will see me, that person will see me. I remember one devotee brothers were distributing books in Churchgate station, and their father received a phone call. Is there any problem in your family? They thought that there's, you know, there is a financial problem, and both the sons are, you know, for some extra income they're doing this. You may have that inhibition, but please, you know, if you think like that, then you get out of Bombay Saturday, Sundays, or sometime you can do it for more days and experience traveling out and doing book distribution. You'll get so much of adventure. People go for mountaining, trekking, and they break their legs. That's all. But here, this adventure, whether you receive yes from people or no from people, but the experience of adventure is very fruitful on a personal level now. And at the end of the day, it is very beneficial because it will please Srila Prabhupada. As he said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. So be connected to GCL, be connected to Gita, be connected to our godown all the time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Now the request is Great Shamanand Prabhu. We all know Shamanand Prabhu very well. He is really Prabhupada's bookman. He has given all of his energy and life in not just distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, but also translating Prabhupada's books in Marathi. So it's his life's actual mission to complete the whole Bhagavatam Marathi and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we request him to speak some words of inspiration for all of us. Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking of all the acharyas who have advented in this material world since Lord Buddha. It seems strange that Lord Buddha should be considered as a world-transforming personality, but actually he is. We can understand how there's a whole strategy, there's a whole plan to bring back as many conditioned souls back to Krishna. This age is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Kali means quarrel. Yuga means the age, the time. Once one devotee very humorously said, Yuga means two, isn't it? Two. So whenever there are two people, they will fight. Kali Yuga. I think we were in Mayapur on the streets and two cyclists came and smashed each other. So he said, look, Kali Yuga. Two coming together and they have no reason. So we wonder what to do. Is there any way out? So after Lord Buddha was Shankaracharya, he revived, he traveled around India, then Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. We also have Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami. But none of these acharyas, they have this kind of emphasis on disseminating knowledge. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself just wrote 8 verses. Every morning we sing Shikshashtra verses. Does it mention anywhere in the Shikshashtak that one should go out and sell books or one should be out on the streets? So why are we doing it? Is there a historical connection? Is there a umbilical cord, so to say? The book distributor right on the street or a housewife who is going door to door showing Bhagavad Gita's, or a businessman making a call, Would you like to take some books? What connection does it have with our full Guru Parampara? It sounds like mundane selling. It seems like a simple activity. It has numbers, go down, statistics. You ask our traveling Sankirtan devotees, they talk of tires being busting, so much spent on fuel. Why? I found a little bit of hint. I cannot say the whole thing is unearthed, but something. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sent Rupa and Sanatan to Vrindavan, this is what he said. Braje jai rasa shastra kariha nirupan, lupta tirtha sabatahan kariha pracharan. Braje jai, you go to Braj, rasa shastra kariha nirupan. You have to give an explanation of what is rasa shastra, Lupta Tirtha. Many of us were in Vrindavan. Now we can just take a small rickshaw to Mahavan, Talvan, Kamvan. At that point, none of these things were there. It is the Goswamis who did it. Mahaprabhu expected them to excavate these places of pilgrimage. Krishna seva rasa bhakti kariho prachar. Ameha dekhite tahan jaimu ek bar. Krishna seva rasa bhakti kariho prachar. You have to propagate this. Now this requires a little bit of application as to how Mahaprabhu is saying, I want to propagate my name all over the world. I want to make every person in this world accept Krishna Bhakti. Mahaprabhu explains, I want to do it through my followers. There were four things which were done by the Goswamis when they were in Vrindavan. First, they wrote books. Now many people appreciate Prabhupada's books display next to him. One devotee, Vishwambar Prabhu from London, he said, wow, this is so inspiring. The books deserve that kind of a very ornate and very, very beautiful placing around Srila Prabhupada. But if you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it was written on palm leaves or bhojapatra or sometimes carved. And Rupa Goswami says, this is something for my brother, Sanatana Goswami. So these Goswamis would be writing these books just for each other's pleasure. They were not thinking that there could be a big trust, there could be like massive printing, thousands of copies. But the fact is, they are the ones who are still running the show. We'll see how. Upadeshamrit, small text, nectar of instruction. From that to voluminous things like Shat Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. For something like 100 to 150 years, no, not 150 years, let's say at least 50 to 60 years, these texts remained in Vrindavan. And one day, Jiva Goswami, he told three of his most illustrious disciples, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. He said, you take these books out and preach. This could be called the first traveling book distribution party. But they were not books in the sense they were not printed in large numbers. But as we can understand, anything Krishna does, he does with flair, he does with some flourish, he does with a touch of finesse. There is nothing like straight on point A to point B kind of thing. These books were put in massive ox carts. And as they crossed Chota Nagpur Plateau, the Jharkhand forest, they came to a place in the Birbhum area, still existing. There was a king there. His name was Hambir. Hambir basically means, I am a big veer, I am a big hero. He was a part-time king and a full-time dacoit. Or whatever. He had astrologers with him who could tell him what exactly is happening. And one day this astrologer came and said, few people, four massive ox carts, treasure, unbelievable treasure, more precious than gold and silver. So he said, this could be an opportunity of a lifetime. He personally supervised the theft of this four massive ox carts. They took away everything. This morning, this party woke up and they found all their books are gone. And who would steal books? But they were so nervous. Finally, Srinivas Acharya said, "You all proceed. I won't leave till I get the books, or at least I should get some information. Who must have stolen them? I mean, somebody steals something, then he finds it worthless, he may just throw it away. So it's no good, either for him or for me." So he stayed there. The king took the books to a dungeon somewhere. And then he opened it. He couldn't make head and tail as to what exactly should be, what is this treasure. The king had a pandit who would speak Bhagavatam. Now imagine, those kind of kings, they would be dacoits and robbers, but still they would read or hear Bhagavat from a professional reciter. Strange times. These, not those. Today we don't even have that. So while this, somehow Srinivas Acharya went to the court, and then one day he gave an explanation of the Bhagavatam which completely mesmerized the king. He says, "I've never heard someone speak with such love." Srinivas's personality was so much radiating with Krishna Bhakti that the king surrendered to him. He took daily lessons from Srinivas Acharya. And practically, like devotees have this experience, you see someone regularly coming for Sunday feast and festivals, and you know, he's got the taste now. So one day he offered that I should do something, some service. And Srinivas Acharya said, "Actually, I am on an errand. This task is massive. These books need to be disseminated. This knowledge needs to be distributed. Somehow we lost it." And the king felt the ground beneath him shaking. He just said, "Wait, I'll take you to something. I hope, you know, it's not the same thing. If this is not yours, then I'm happy. But if this is what you were searching for, you know, then I'm damned." So he brought him to that place. They opened those cloth packaging. And lo and behold, Srinivas saw all these books. He was so happy. And the king started trembling. He says, "Oh, what a great curse. I mean, what have I done?" Srinivas said, "No problem. I got the books, I'm happy." So he got the books. He made the king his disciple, and actually Khanakul Krishnanagar, the place where he was ruling, that place, that Birbhum area, became one of the first Vaishnav government. Imagine, everybody was following Ekadashi, and there was no question of any other things. Janmashtami would be holiday. And well, in that sense, many things which we see in the books were already, or many things are yet to come. It's not that the whole thing is over. So, distributing this literature is what the Goswamis want. It came right up, right from these personalities, it came down to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One day some disciples were discussing and they praised Prabhupada. "We know Bhaktivinoda Thakur is great. We know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is great. But you actually did it. You, Prabhupada, actually went out. And, you know, it's your greatness." And Prabhupada understood their mindset and said, "No, that's not a proper way of thinking. A Vaishnav," Prabhupada kept himself as a servant of a Vaishnav. He said, "A Vaishnav like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so great that when he can do something himself, he leaves it aside for someone like me to take the credit." So they are very powerful. So in that vein, thinking in that vein, Srila Prabhupada took the love of distributing books from his own guru and passed it on to his followers. Now, if you read a Lilamrit, you will find book distribution at the airports. Anyone here apart from Navin Nirad Prabhu, anyone did airport book distribution? Raise your hands. None. Yes, one. Otherwise, for most Indians, airports and distribution doesn't make any sense. Right now, if you go at 1.5 kilometers before the airport, they stop you, whether you have a ticket or not, and like that. So what do we do when we see book distribution reports, book distribution accounts of the 70s and 80s, and then we see reality today? Like Param Purush Prabhu, such an enthusiastic person, if he takes a bag of books and goes to Nariman Point, do you think that people will just welcome him? Oh, a devotee of Krishna, what do you want? Most probably we can't even make it to the receptionist or to the elevator. So, I was just thinking, during Prabhupada's times, Prabhupada didn't give any formula. He just ordered the printing of the books. The books were there. And in one letter, I got the clue. And that's what I want to present today. Prabhupada writes, tax your brains. I said, wow, what does it mean? It means this duel between material nature and the Krishna conscious movement will always continue. It's a game. And then we have to make our calculation. Airport, no distribution. So you have to play it again. This is what Prabhupada expected. I have seen many devotees in our congregation at Chowpatty devise ingenious techniques of how they can approach people. Many years ago, do you remember the textile factory marathon which we had? 5,000 Gitas in one day. We were all swooning in delight. But right now those textile companies are gone. There are multi-story skyscrapers there. So what do we do? Just sit back on our laurels, look at the past certificates of how many first, second, third positions we had, or the burps we had by eating Radha Madhav's cake during those years? No. We need to tax our brains. This is 2011. Wake up to the challenges of today. The books, as Prabhuji was saying, they're already there. The information is already there. The mercy is already there. The technique has to come from you. And for that technique, as Navindra Prabhu said, we need prayer. We need to apply our minds. What can I do? It's not impossible. The marathon which we do at Chowpatty is a little bit different. As some other things we also do a bit differently. What is that? One day I asked Maharaj that 1 lakh is a good number. I just had this feeling, 1 lakh, 1,000,000. Nice figure to talk about, you know, 100,000 Gitas. This must be 98 or 99. So he said, no problem. Krishna consciousness encourages competition. So I said, should I pray to Prabhupada that we should distribute 100,000 Gitas? He said, yes. And added a line. And pray that we come last. So I made a sour face. I said, why is that? I mean, you distribute 1 lakh in order to gain the number one prize or whatever. He said, this is the beauty. Krishna consciousness encourages competition with yourself. Why should you compete with someone else? It's your ambition to do 1 lakh, do 1 lakh. But to temper the competitive spirit, to make it spiritual, you also pray, let me come last. So he said, just imagine if 250 temples and they all do more than 100,000, because you are doing 100,000 and you are last, everybody has to do more than you. How much that will be like an increase in Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. So, we are not after numbers per se, but we are after enthusiasm. We are after encouragement. So we request all of you, if you have any ideas, any schemes, anything which you feel can be done, please, please, please do not neglect it. That one small germ of an idea can be the precursor to a whole new technique. It may last for a few years, who knows? This world is jagat, always changing, always mutation. But that's what we need to do. And a marathon, again, Radhanath Maharaj told us when we were beginning our marathon in 1995, 20 years down the line, devotees should be thanking you for engaging them in a marathon. So that's our small contribution. We are not here to beat any temple or beat any project or beat any zone in the numbers. If we do, well, that's part of the game. But that's not our main aim. Our aim is to be seeing that everyone who feels that Radha Gopinath temple is the nucleus of my spiritual life. This is where I come for my daily spiritual bread and spiritual butter. Then I should be thinking of pleasing Srila Prabhupada by distributing even one book a day. You pray like that, you get the techniques, you get the meditation, share with us if something works. If something doesn't work, don't worry. One college student, I'll end with this, a college student told me, I went to 50 people today and not a single one took a book. Maybe because I'm not a pure devotee. I said, tomorrow if you distribute 10, doesn't make you one. The point is to go out every day. That's the only thing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We haven't finished yet. The icing on the cake is a few skits arranged by Baldev Prabhu. And since it's book distribution time, so a little bit of overtime doesn't, I don't think you should all mind. So please clear this area. We are going to have two skits. Hare Krishna.
So a wonderful slideshow which one devotee prepared in the West, which shows that how one book, it makes a difference. Maybe not to the person who has bought, but may be to the persons who come across the book. Yeah, book distribution finally. Slideshow. Yeah, next. So Prabhupada, whenever he got his book published, he always felt that he has conquered an empire. Next. Now Prabhupada says, there is no doubt about it, to distribute book is one most important activity. And Prabhupada says, temple is not a place for eating and sleeping, but a base from which we send our soldiers to fight with Maya. And Prabhupada makes a very wonderful statement here. Fight with Maya means to drop thousands and millions of books into the lap of conditioned souls. Just like during wartime, the bombs are raining from the sky like anything. So taking this clue, many devotees, they have compared Srila Prabhupada's books to a transcendental time bomb. A time bomb has a self-counter. And when the counter hits, then the bomb explodes. So the book may go from hand to hand, and suddenly it explodes in someone's hand, and then his life changes. So we'll see a nice storyline through the slideshow of how this ISKCON time bomb works. So this is ISKCON time bomb. Go ahead. This is a Bhagavatam, 10-second timer. It starts clicking as soon as the book reaches in someone's hand. Go ahead. So this is a book distributor who's opening the godown of Srila Prabhupada's books. One, hold on, slowly. Danger explosives. Go on. He carries that. And now, these are the distributors. Book distributors are going to carry this danger explosive and give it to whomsoever they're going to meet. Yeah. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. It has a 10-second timer. Go ahead. So the devotees are ready to distribute books now. Yeah. So this is a devotee here, a book distributor, trying to convince a person to take a book. But here, the devotee knows that the book distribution is going on in an area where it is not allowed. So we can see a security guard is soon approaching that distributor, trying to check out what is going on there. Go ahead. So the devotee is trying to convince, but the devotee has not yet removed a book till now, because she knows very well that security is also watching out what's happening next. So she is trying to change the whole discussion, and she gets out a flower or something and presents it to the potential person who's going to buy the book. But the person goes away, and the security guard is confronting the devotee and said, "I know why you come here. You have something in your bag. Show me." So devotee now knows that, well, I am in trouble. What to do? So at this time, the devotee can do nothing but just pray to Krishna. So here is what this devotee is going to do. She is intensely praying to Krishna, "Please help me. What to do? This person is going to trouble me now. Next." So full confidence, she gets the book out and hands it over to the security guard and starts preaching. The security is mesmerized. He doesn't know what he's dealing with. He starts reading, and she's convincing him to buy the book. And finally, what happens? Krishna's prayers worked, and this devotee is able to convince this man to buy a book. He removes his pocket and gives his hard-earned money to buy this Bhagavatam. He realizes actually he has emptied his whole pocket. And then, go ahead. The devotee goes away, says a final goodbye, Hari Bol, thank you. Meanwhile, yes, now he realizes, what is happening, what happened? I actually went to confront this person not to sell any books, but I landed up myself buying a book. So, well, I have a book, what to do? So he goes home now. He goes to his wife and says, "Wife, I have got a very wonderful gift for you. See this?" And he shows the Bhagavatam. "I have got this Bhagavatam." But his wife is not so enthusiastic. She becomes angry. "What is this?" And then not just anger, the anger turns into action. Go ahead. And then she has the book in the hand. And many times it happens, it has happened in the West, maybe not happening in India, but that's what she's going to do. She's going to throw the book out. She's very unhappy that so much money has gone, and she throws the book out. Well, what will happen with the book now? Go. The book is flying in the air. What will happen? Whoosh, next. So there is this lady, she's completely confused, and the book comes and directly lands in that carry bag. Go ahead. What is this? She checks here and there where the book has come from. She doesn't know. So she carries it to her home. And then it is here that husband and two kids, they're having a nice merry time. And the wife comes and gives the book to her husband. Yeah. Next one. The husband picks up the book. He is intrigued. He's very casual here. So he picks up the book and starts reading the book. Next. And then the timer starts. So 7. Go ahead. He's interested more. What is this Krishna? What is this Bhagavatam? Go ahead. 3. Go. 1. Explosion. Next. What has happened to him? And not only to him, what has happened to his family? So this is how Prabhupada's books work. They go from hand to hand. Finally, someone takes it and he becomes a devotee. The slides are not yet over. More to come. So then they decide, okay, now let's go to temple. And the book is lying in the house. Next. So let's go to Arthik. They go to temple and they close the doors. But now, what will happen? A thief comes in, breaks in the house. He broke in the house and he's thinking, what to do now? So he picks up the Bhagavatam. He's very interested. He opens the Bhagavatam. And then There is another explosion. And then what happens, we all know. So we'll not go ahead. The end. The next slide. Yes. So Prabhupada says, there is no literature throughout the universe like Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no comparison, no competition. Every word is for the good of human society. Somehow or other, if a book goes in someone's hand, he will benefit it. Therefore, we are stressing so much, please distribute books. Distribute books and distribute books. Next. There is no other way. Hare Krishna only. Next. Prabhupada says, art of book distribution, train others. I like your program of sending out your best book distributors to teach the others. That is the actual process of Krishna consciousness. To train others, continue this program so that in future, every devotee in your movement will know that art of distributing books. So for so many years, we had our best devotees go out and train others in distribution. Go ahead. So we had an Elphiston Parel. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj himself went to distribute books out on the railway station. Go ahead. He was standing there. He gave out many books through his hands. Next. Then we had the other station. Many of our leaders in our temple went there. Next. 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 Many devotees who were always in temple only cooking, they also were there. Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Next. This is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. This devotee is even trying to convince a blind man to look at this book and buy a book. So in Prabhupada's movement, it can happen that you can convince a blind man to buy a book and start reading it. Next. So this is something. So the last, a small thing, that we are going to have many events in our temple for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. As Shyamananda mentioned, that you can think of many techniques yourself. But we have on the 6th of December, which is the actual day of Gita Jayanti, Mokshada Ekadashi, we are planning to have a Gita Jayanti Mahayagya in the courtyard. So people who are not interested in taking a book and distributing book, but those who want to give some donation, so call them for a yagya, make them sit for a yagya, and through their yagya, they can sponsor some books which we can distribute throughout Maharashtra. So Gita Jayanti Mahayagya, we have Shastradan, we have railway stalls, we have corporate. So there are different ways and schemes. For more information, you can contact the book godown. Shadwuj Prabhu is there with his team, and they can help you out in knowing the various ways you can take part in Prabhupada book distribution. So very thankful to all of you. We have gone beyond time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.